Hello and welcome to Room Escape Divas, and we are on episode 3 today. So today we have lots in store for you guys, including an interview.
That's the play we miss. Flashlight bliss. That's the play we miss.
Not out, stuck behind a door. Black light, it's all been done before. And if we could only find a key, we'd be free. We like clues cause we are barred in here. Why is this so hard? And we're hoping that we're almost done, not having fun. We're stuck in these cells and nothing compels to get back on track, cause this room is crap. We follow the rules, you're nothing but cruel to me. Tell me, why'd you have to go and make a room so we can't escape it? I see the way you're acting like you're really smart while we're all frustrated. The flashlight's broke too, and we call, and you stall, and we ache. Your mistakes, what we get, what you've turned us into. Honestly, just wait until you find out what we will rate it. Low, low, low.
I am excited because we have a fellow escape room enthusiast here that we've invited onto our show. Her name is Christine Barger. She runs a blog called, oh dear, liveescapereviews.com. Am I close?
Liveescaperoomreviews.com.
Sorry about
but
that.
But it used to be thehauntgirl.com.
Yes.
That was just haunts. So you can still use the haunt girl if that's easier and it'll take you to the same place.
Oh, nice. Hauntgirl.com or the haunt girl?
The haunt girl. Oh. I like to have the at the beginning.
Yeah, no.
So I'm not just a haunt girl. I'm the haunt girl.
The haunt girl. And you live in California, this is correct?
Yes, Los Angeles.
Nice. And so you have a lot of fun rooms over there. And we've really gotten into the community of escape room enthusiasts. And so what we hope to do now and in the future is just invite all sorts of people that might want to talk about escape rooms to us. Because maybe you probably found out, as I've and we've found out, that not very many people, we can't talk too much about this to other people because of spoilers and because they also get bored after a while. So...
That they do.
It's true. And so that's why it's so fun to find someone else. So you want to tell us anything about yourself? I mean, you have quite the varied life there, Christine Barger. It's really cool.
Yeah, I live in Los Angeles. I moved to Los Angeles like over 10 years ago to be an actor. And so I am an actor as well and a ventriloquist. So I do all that in Los Angeles, and I really loved haunts, so I used to go to all these different haunts, and then when we did the Purge Truck, I don't know if you guys heard about the Purge Truck.
No,
is it, that's interesting.
Is this
my very first escape room was the Purge Truck.
Okay.
So we thought it was a haunt, and we show up to this semi-truck that they redid the back of it into an escape room, but it was with live actors. So if you saw the second movie, it was based on that one, I think.
There's a first movie of what? Sorry.
The Purge?
Oh, okay.
Oh, my gosh. Really? Really?
The Purge.
When I heard the Purge Truck, I'm like, it's not that dumb movie, is it?
It's the Purge, yeah.
So oh,
the
my
Purge.
Gosh.
Remember to kill each other because the government gave you 24 hours to kill people? So it's based on that.
Right. Yeah, I remember that movie.
Oh,
I didn't
God.
See it. Yeah.
I think it was the second one was coming out, and they did this as a promo. And so they drive these, they had two semis set up exactly the same with a female actor at the very beginning. This is no longer around, so I can talk about it as much as I want. There's a girl at the beginning and you're locked in a cage and she's also locked in, but like in a different part of the cage. And you have to fish for the key, give her the key to the handcuffs and get yourselves out of the cage, get her out. And then you go into the kitchen and this is all in the back of a semi truck. Mind you, this is not like a big room. It's like, it's tiny, but they use their space like crazy. So you go in the kitchen, you have to call people and like put pieces of stuff together. Then you're in the bedroom. Then she like crawl up on the bed and start crying about how he's coming. We got to get out, you know, and you're like, okay. All right. And then you go in and there's like a switchboard with all of these like switches that didn't make any sense. And we don't know how we solved it, but we all just flipped switches till it worked. And then we got into the next part. And then there was like a computer and there were like body bags and like coolers. And then there was another room that we didn't get to before the time ended. I think it was 45 minutes or maybe 30. It was a short room. But the time ends, and this wall, like, drops down out of nowhere, and this guy with a machine gun starts shooting us.
Oh.
And we were like, we lost, but it was so cool. We got to do another one of these. And so we found the basement after that, and that's how I got into escape rooms. Then I just got obsessed.
And have you, and I take it you've traveled all of the West Coast doing escape rooms or more?
So I started doing rooms here in Los Angeles, and then we found out there was some in San Diego, and then I did a show up north in San Francisco area that as a ventriloquist. I drove up to this military base, and I played rooms by myself.
Oh.
While I was up there, because I don't take anybody with me usually when I travel for work. And so I stopped and did Omescape in San Francisco area or Sacramento area. And I did their pirate room and their, I want to say time travel, but I don't think that's what it's called. Their Omega room. I did those by myself. I got out of Omega. I didn't get out of Pirate. Pirate's really big and fun, but I was like, I can't do this by myself. And then, when my husband got a little bit more into it too, he was like, well, maybe we could do some escape rooms for Halloween. So this past October, we drove all the way to Baton Rouge and New Orleans to do haunted houses and escape rooms. Hmm. But then I booked a movie and had to fly back and left him to drive back by himself. So he didn't do the ones in Texas he was supposed to do, but whatever. So now he's got work trips that are coming up. So we just did one to Arizona, and he went for work, and he spent 2 days doing a conference, and I spent those same 2 days, and then one the Sunday after with him. I spent in 3 days, I did 14 rooms in Arizona.
Woo!
And then like four or five of them were by myself, like with nobody. And then there were some strangers, and then there was some with him.
Actually,
and so now
that on Facebook, was this just recent?
Yeah.
Right? Yes, yes, yes.
That was like 2 weekends ago, I think. And then we've got Ohio coming up that we're going to see family, but we're going to fit at least 2 rooms, I think, in. It's really a family trip, so we're not going to overdo it. And then we're doing another one to Denver, which I'm excited about because he's got to work and I've got days by myself to do whatever. So I'm going to hit as many escape rooms up as possible.
And you're not going to travel up to, like, you know, Canada to any of, you know?
We want to go to Canada. Oh, we're doing Vegas next weekend, too. I forgot. We're doing Vegas. We're supposed to do Vegas for my birthday. And then we were busy doing something else and we didn't make it. So, but we want to go to Canada. We're thinking maybe in October, we're going to actually do long weekends in October every weekend. Mm-hmm. We're planning on doing, like, instead of taking 1 week vacation, he's going to take Fridays off. So we can go Friday, Saturday, Sunday and just go out and do haunts and escape rooms, do escape rooms during the day and haunts at night mm-hmm. in all these different cities. So we want to do like Boston and we'd love to do Canada, but we're not really sure where we would end up. Because we want to be able to do a lot of good escape rooms and haunts at the same time since it's October.
Are there a lot of good – you might know more than we would. Good haunts in Canada, are there?
I don't know of any.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there are. We just haven't been able to search them out yet.
And so when did you find out more about, let's say, the community of escape room enthusiasts?
Well, like you said, you start talking to people. And so I started talking to the owners when we would go to these escape rooms. And I was like, oh, cool. This is really neat. And I, like, oh, I like that. And this is really, we've done like three. We've done a lot, you know. And and so we'd start talking. And back when we were doing them, I guess three was a lot. Four was a lot because there weren't any. But then, you know, now I hear people say, we've done a lot. We've done six. I'm like, I did six in 1 day. I'm going to stress in your life. You need to calm down. I've done a lot. So I started talking to these owners, and then I started to kind of get to know all the owners. And in LA, I don't know if you guys have quite the same type of community that Los Angeles does right now, but here we have a guy named Brian who now owns the room officially. He finally bought Countdown. So he's the owner of Countdown as of like 2 weeks ago, I think, is when the paperwork went over. But he started kind of going, hey, Christine, who do you know? We want to start building a community of owners. And so he's made these meetups. Mm. So we have like almost every Monday now, it feels like something's going on. But on usually Monday nights, like say the first Monday, we might meet at Maze Rooms. I think we just did Maze Rooms this past week. So it was all these owners that get together and they meet at somebody's location and then they just play games. They play all their games. And then the next week it'll be at somebody else's place and then they all do games. And then, So it's really cool because I'm not an owner, but I somehow got kind of grandfathered into this community because everybody knew me. So when Brian said, who do you know? I was the one adding everybody to the Facebook group because I was the only one who knew everybody. Mm-hmm. And so now I have this great community of friends that I've made in the industry that are all owners, and they're wonderful, and they keep trying to convince us to start a room. So then I would be an owner. And I was like, that's a lot of work, guys.
Question. Yeah. Would you ever start your own room? No, being an enthusiast now, would you do that?
I would if I didn't think it was so hard. Like, I've seriously thought about it. I was planning on opening one, or looking at getting the funding and everything to open one in January, because in November I had kind of designed this whole room out and I had everything ready to go, like as far as like design had gone and puzzles and stuff. But then I realized like there's money involved.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's time. I have time. I have plenty of time. I'm an actor. Come on. Like, we have all day free unless we're, you know, working on something. So that wasn't a concern. But money, and then just like dealing with the city, because the city has all those rules about like your handicap faucet needs to have automatic ons, because what if the person washing their hands doesn't have hands? And I'm like, I don't understand these rules at all. And how do you get permits? And like, I don't know. So for that reason, I'm not much of a business person for that sort of paperwork and dealing with the city and all the rules. If I had somebody else who was like, I'm that person, mm-hmm. would you be the other person, the creative side? And I would be like, oh, yeah, that might be fun. And then maybe. But right now, unless I win the lottery and just have extra money just to throw at something that doesn't matter if it works, probably it'll be a while.
Well, you know, I mean, that's one reason why the crew here did our interactive theater escape event, because we didn't want to do something that we needed to be committed to for a long period
of
time.
Nothing sustainable.
Yes. Yes. We wanted to have
that really
fun.
Sounds fun. It seems like a lot of work, but a lot of work with a really fun payoff.
Yes.
It's like doing a theater show instead of a long-running television series or something, right? It's like, you do theater for the love of it, and you do TV for the money.
And so you could try something like that. I mean, I don't know if you have a lot of, I mean, we were fortunate. We have a lot of actor friends that we could have pulled in and asked them to do things for us. And this time around, we paid them, so we were happy about that. So that was available to us. I mean, I would think maybe you have a few people that might want to do something like that. Maybe.
Yeah, I know a couple actors. Yeah. I'm sure if I walked out and just threw something, I'd hit one.
Just throw a snake in the road and see who flocks to it. Or a script.
Yeah, exactly. Throw a script with a big sign. I just put up an audition sign anywhere, and they'll just come. They'll just show up, like, audition at Starbucks now. There'll just be a line of people. But yeah, I mean, that might be fun to do. It's definitely something to consider, because there's a lot of venues here, too, that we have access to, and like people that I know that run theaters and stuff. So I'm sure there's a lot of spaces I could get. So maybe I'll think about that.
Ooh.
That's way less commitment and scary than like starting a real full-on business.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's a little bit harder, because now you have to figure out how to manipulate between 60 to 100 people, and that's different than manipulating six people at a time. So it's a little bit of a different mindset, because you don't want bottlenecks, and that's the worst that can happen.
Yeah, that when you say that, the first thing that comes to mind is like, well, a scrap can do it. I just played their magic show. Oh my gosh. Have you guys done that one?
No.
Don't. Just don't. We won, too. We're the only team that won.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds like a
don't do game. It. We were so unhappy. We were like the maddest team there, too. We were all like enthusiasts, and we got together to specifically beat the game, and then we did, and we were like, it still wasn't fun. That ending still sucked. Why does the end suck so bad every time we go to scrap? So, and that was, you know, they leave those little flyers like for you to fill out comments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We wrote that. We were like, make your ending suck less. Like everyone at the table basically wrote that on the little flyer.
Yeah.
And they were like, wow, the winning team really didn't like that ending.
Yeah.
But we understood what happened, and we were like, oh, and everyone else didn't see it till later. And they were just like, oh, like that's the feeling of the room at the end of that game. It's like, ooh, 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 oh.
And I don't know why they haven't realized this by now, because we've all said it. You know?
We tell them over and over. Why don't they listen?
I don't know. It's like, you know, same thing with their games. You know, we just, all of us complain about the ending and everything, all the live events. I read all the reviewers, like I was reading Room Escape Artist's review on a live event. I was reading another person's review, and it's like everybody doesn't like it, and yet they still keep doing them. So I'm so confused.
It's like a bad movie, you know? Like, they still keep doing them, but it's because people keep buying tickets.
But they don't hear, right? So when we that the first live event in Toronto, they did Escape from the Bank, and it sold out immediately. The second live event they did not, actually. I don't even know how well it did. I didn't even bother going because I just didn't want to be sad. So I didn't go.
Didn't feel like being sad.
I'm a glutton for punishment. I did the first event. I did the Enchanted Forest and I hated it. Oh, I hated it all together.
Right?
No.
Did you do Enchanted Forest?
I think it was called Curse Forest or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Maybe it's Curse Forest. Yeah, yeah. Whatever it's called. I get names wrong all the time. And part of it's me, and part of it's just that people name things stupid stuff. Like Escape Room versus Room Escape.
Yes.
LA. Like, I love those companies, but come on. How confusing is it to be Escape Room LA or Room Escape LA? And they're two different companies. But what did you think of Cursed Forest?
No. I mean, like, it's like any scrap game. At the end of it, you work through the puzzles, and then it's that, yeah, it's like you say, it's that climax. It's just like, okay, what the hell was that?
Yeah.
And it was better than the last one.
Sorry?
We did also Escape from the Bank, which was worse. So, yeah, and that's why I just don't do them anymore.
Well, no, I did the Cursed Forest, hated it all together. Didn't even like the puzzles in that one at all, because it was way too, like, heady stuff I didn't like. And then I went and I did their time travel room, which I hated. So then I go back and I play the magician show thing, which I hated less, because it was magic themed. But, like, the three times I've gone, I'm like, when am I going to learn? Like, I'm going to hate it. Just don't go. But the magic one was slightly less hated throughout the game. Just the end sucked. They had a magician. He was a magician. he was like a kid's magician that had really good intentions.
Okay. So, I mean, I think I liken it to someone who's a performer and then someone who has a skill, I guess you could say. You know, you have all these musicians that are really talented, but they get in front of people and they're horrible performers. And so you don't actually like watching them. But, you know, they're very talented and they don't understand. Why don't they understand the music? And it's because you suck on stage. Maybe that's why, sort of thing, right? And it's probably like one of those. You could probably find a really great magician that's a great performer, but then... Anyway, sorry, that's me ranting.
So I do have to ask, you said you were, like, you started liking the haunt industry, right?
She still likes the haunt industry.
Oh, no, I still love the haunt industry.
So what?
I'm doing the tension experience right now. That's totally, like, in the haunt industry.
Right.
And an ARG, which I'm totally new to ARGs. So now it's like I've got puzzles and I've got live events and I've got haunt all in one place. I'm just, like, my mind is blown.
So I was going to say, like, what about the escape room drew to it initially? Because there are differences between that and, say, just a traditional haunt.
Well, because it was haunt-based, so the whole sense of fear and that sort of – it was kind of like my first interactive haunt in that sense that it really felt interactive because I'd done a lot of haunts that were supposed to be interactive.
Right.
And they were just kind of like shoving you around or putting weird things on you. And I was like, this isn't really interactive. This is just weird. And so this was something that I actually got to be part of the story. And so I really like that. And I think because I came from that industry, loving the haunt world and loving that idea of being in the story, I never lost that. I've talked to people recently that I didn't realize this was the thing. Like, you could like escape rooms and not care about the story. I didn't know that was a thing. Like, I'm like, how do you not care about the story? The story is like the most important part of the thing. The puzzles are really important, but the story, if you aren't in the story as a character, what's the point? You could play puzzles at home. I didn't realize there were different perspectives on the whole escape room community. I just assumed everyone liked it for the reason I liked it, which is not true at all.
Well, I also find, I'm not too sure. I think the haunt industry, the audience for the haunt industry seems to be, I don't know. Is it different than the escape room industry? I don't know. I don't know much about the haunt industry audience.
Not in Los Angeles, at least. Here, it's pretty much the same people. Except for the corporate team building stuff that goes along with the escape rooms. That's a little different. Like, you don't get corporate team building at Not Scary Farm, necessarily. Mm-hmm. Maybe they've got to work their way through a maze together with a witch yelling at them. I'm not sure. But but here, it's definitely, like, the same people who create haunts are the same people who are creating escape rooms. So Crossroads, which is the hex room, which I'm sure you guys have heard about, where there's six people and you're separated in different rooms. Those guys came from, I think, Queen Mary. That they were designers over there and builders. The Wizards and Wires, the Curiosity Shop, which is one of my all-time favorite storytelling rooms. They are from the haunt industry. I forget which haunt they worked for before, but it was one of the big ones, like Knott's or Universal, something like that. Brian, the guy at Countdown, haunt guy, he came from one of the big ones too. I think he's from Knott's. So they're the same people that are coming from that industry, and they thought, hey, let's create these scary rooms. But that's the thing they all have in common. Almost everybody who's created from the haunt industry has created a room, they're kind of in that scary vein. The ones who create these ones that are very like the Enchanted Library or something like that, they're not coming from the haunt world necessarily. And definitely the ones with like the FBI rooms. I don't think I know anybody with an FBI room or a cop jail cell thing that has come from the haunt industry. Like, that's not the people who are starting those rooms. They're starting the ones that are like the basement.
Are there any, so are there any escape rooms that are like non haunt really, or non-scary related that you like the best?
Yeah. I mean,
do you find the production value is higher in the haunt industry escape rooms?
I find that a lot of times the story lends to not having to have a higher production value, in the sense that if it's a killer room, most of the time it's like crazy writing on the walls and things are ripped up and tore up. So you don't have to have this beautifully put together like pirate ship. Right. You know, you can have damage in the room and it still lends to the story. So it's okay to have a little bit of chaos and a little bit of kind of like ruin around the room. Something like the pirate ship, for example, they tend to be prettier. I don't always like the stories as much. They can still be fun. It just depends. I don't know. I liked, there was one in Arizona that I really liked that wasn't haunt or scary or anything at all like that. It was based on finding a dog for a dog show. It's at Epic Escape. And you go and you rescue the dog and get it back to the dog show on time. And I thought that was really fun. And it wasn't necessarily the best room I'd ever played, but I also got to play it with a family with kids, which was an unusual experience for me. And to see them get excited about it, part of that experience was just watching these kids get thrilled to be part of, you know, finding a dog. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it just depends on the experience, because it's not always about the room. And I'm sure you guys have gotten that before, especially if you play with strangers or randoms, as you like to call it. If you're playing with randoms, like, that can ruin a game or it can make a game. And sometimes the room might be great, but the randoms suck. And so you just hate the experience. So you leave going, I really didn't have fun. So the room isn't as good as it should be, even though I know it's a good room. And so, yeah. So the dog experience is a good room. And I loved it. But the experience with the kids made it even better. So I really love that room. And it has a special place in my memory, even though it wasn't haunt related.
Scott Nicholson was saying in the enthusiast group, the one of the best parts of the room is the team he's playing with, actually. Mm. And we're very fortunate here. The Room Escape Divas that are you're talking to, actually I play with them an awful lot. And every time we play a room, it's usually with people we've played with before now. So I rarely play with randoms. And then we'll pull in like a new person to join us, and it's great because it's the first time they've seen it. But for the most part, I am a snob and just want to play with my friends now.
I was actually curious because I've now played, I don't know, I think 7 rooms by myself, like completely without strangers, without anyone, just me. I was wondering if you guys play rooms by yourself, if you've ever done that, or if you would do that, if you think that would be fun at all.
No.
I think I was really stressed out.
I kind of like, well, the thing is, I think we're at the point that when you go into an escape room, depending on what the room is, you know, it's I think it's because I'm a diva, and I'll look at a puzzle, and I'll think, oh my goodness, that's going to require a lot of work. And then so usually I give that to Manda, and then she just does all the work, and then it's great, and then I don't have to do it. You know, it's like, oh, this one has math in it. Who wants to add numbers in their head? Because I don't feel like adding it. Anybody have their phone out? Because I'm not adding these numbers in my head, right? And so I know if I go into a room, I'm going to have to do all the hard work.
Now you just swoop in for the finish.
No, I don't
Someone
even do
does
that.
The work and you're like, oh!
Hand me the key!
No, I'm too lazy for that too. It's like, I'll see them open the door, go through there, go, I'm just going to sit here and wait.
That's Errol, by the way. That's not all of us that are like that.
Just like, you know, the last room we were in, there was like eight of us in this room, and I knew them all because they were my relatives, and I think they all open the door, and they're new to escape rooms, they all rush in. The four of us were just waiting. Are they in yet? Does it look like a big room, or can we just stay here so we're not crowded?
What about you, Mike? You didn't say anything. Are you not a loner?
No, I mean, whenever I do rooms, I do them with Ruby. I mean,
They do rooms together, so just two of them.
Right, so that's the closest we get to being alone, and we have done rooms where we'll be in a group of 11 and it's just the two of us. And then we're trying to be nice to the new players, right? So it's like, okay, so you might want to look at it this way. And as they're going down their rabbit trail, it's like, no, why don't you do this? And, you know, as time's like cutting down, it's like, okay, just let me do it.
I want
to. Yeah, there's a certain point where you just start throwing shoulders and elbows. Like, you got to move. Let me get to the lock, guys. You don't know how to do a directional lock. You don't even know what this is. That's funny. You guys should do a competition room against each other. Jeremiah and I did that. It's weird. We both were in separate rooms playing the competition room against each other with nobody else in the room with us.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, it's a weird thing to do.
Competition room with two groups.
I don't think these people would like me in a competition room.
No, you would decimate.
Well, I don't think I would decimate. I would just start getting, you know, bossy again. I get excited in a competition room. Sadly,
yeah,
if I'm going up against somebody else.
So we wouldn't see chairs sitting Errol. We'd see Errol getting up and doing stuff.
Yeah, you haven't seen it, but Errol in general mode, because he is, we have like roles for the rooms, right? And Errol's kind of like the
I'm
general.
I'm chair sitting mode.
No, you're the general. So like, you're the one that we call, you're like the high ranking officer that we call upon when we need like
a
really.
I eat crumpets and drink tea.
Yeah. Same as chair sitting. And then we're like, and then somebody will be like, I can't solve this. And then, like, you know, the high-ranking general, like, gets up from his chair and comes over.
Put my shoes on. I look at it. And then I think, I don't know, it looks like math. And then I go sit down again. No, I'm also random lucky guy. There you go. Remember, like, when we were in the Resident Evil room, and I was just pressing things.
God. No. Okay,
it was an awful room.
This is a slight rant, but it wasn't a great room, and there was one, you know, when like there's a puzzle where you click a light and that will turn on other lights on a grid, and your goal is to turn on all of the lights.
And then, but there are binary lights, so one switch will turn on a set of pattern of four, another switch will turn some off and turn other ones on, right?
So there were four switches. Five positions each that, you know, like, and you had to eventually light up all the lights. So two of us, me and another woman, like, sat there looking at, like, trying to figure out the pattern. And meanwhile, Errol was just brute forcing this puzzle, just like turning the switches, like
no faster.
Yeah, and I was sitting there, like, and
she was getting mad at me.
I felt
She's
so
rage,
bad.
Manda.
Not that bad.
No, she was.
But I was just sort of like, gosh, it won't work. Would you stop doing that? There are too many variations on this. And all of a sudden, click, all the lights were on, and it was just from Arrow, like, turning the switches at lightning speed to try and figure out this thing. And it was like, oh my God.
Ugh, I hate
That's
those
awesome.
Puzzles.
I'm with you, Errol. Like, I do that in rooms when I get to the point where I'm like, this is just like, no, I don't, there's no answers. There's no puzzles. Let's just guess it. And yeah. I'm pretty lucky most of the time, thankfully, because I won't stay in there very long and not be lucky and not have a puzzle to work on before I get pretty short tempered.
So we always have one person in the room, like when we're trying to figure out a combination, there'll always be one person at the lock just rolling the numbers, just seeing what they can get and brute forcing it, because...
But that was also the same room. I found a picture, and then I noticed indentations. Oh, I guess we're supposed to press these, and so I'm just randomly pressing things. Then all of a sudden Mike says, oh, hey, that turned on. What? I was doing it for fun, because, oh, look, things
press. You
weren't
even doing it for that long. You just went up to the picture and just put your hands up against it, and then... Things just opened up for you.
It was just like, oh, that's cool.
That's what happened.
I still don't know how that puzzle was solved to this day.
So you don't ask people when you're done? You don't go, hey, we just brute forced this. How did it work?
We got happy in this room. No. We just left as soon as we could.
There's something before that. So before that, just as we're solving the last puzzle, which is the Towers of Hanoi, it's like a task-based puzzle where
so
you have to stack those pegs on top of each other. And then, anyway, you have to get them in a certain order, only using them once. Anyway, so the thing is, as we're solving that, Errol kind of walks over and he sees, oh, there's an emergency exit button. And he pushes it and he walks out the door. He's like, hey, we're already done. And like, no, we have to solve the puzzle. You just hit the emergency exit.
No, it didn't say emergency exit. It said quit game. So I just thought, oh, you know, because it was based on a game. Because all the other ones say emergency key. So I'm used to just seeing emergency key, not quit game. And they didn't tell us that ahead of time.
No, they didn't.
So I just thought, oh, maybe we just have to press this button and walk out. Look at that. Look, we're gone. We're done. We can go. Mike's going, no, we're not done.
So how is doing room on your own?
It's fun. I like it. Except this one room that I did on my own that... I actually got warned by someone else not to play it after I had bought the ticket. Mm-hmm. Amanda, I think, was the one who warned me.
Oh.
And I hated that one. But the rest of them I really liked. And he'll know if he hears this who he is, the owner.
They might.
He will, because I sat down in the middle of the floor, and I was told I only got a certain number of hints, like 4 hints or something. So I sit down in the middle of the floor of this room that is haunted-themed, ghost-themed, whatever, death-themed, and there's just plastic all over me, or, like, around the walls and, like, on the floor and on the ceiling. There's plastic everywhere and, like, these knickknacks from the 99-cent store of skulls and things. And I get so frustrated because I've asked for all the hints, and I refuse to ask for more than I'm allowed to because I don't like break rules very much. So I figured if he wanted to help, he would help me, but he didn't. So I sat down for like 7 minutes and I look at this lock and I'm cross-legged on the floor with the last lock in the room that I'm in. And I said, all right, lock, it's just you and me and you've beaten me. And nothing. He did not help me. And I was like, are you kidding me? Like, I was ready to walk out. That time was not fun. And it wouldn't have helped if somebody else was there because they wouldn't have. I don't play with searchers. So we would never have found what we needed because it was searching and I had to take something apart that was furniture that I never would have thought to take apart because who takes apart furniture?
Yes.
But you know, so normally though, in a good room, it's really fun. I did one of the panic rooms and got out in like 45 minutes and had a blast. And I never thought I would be able to get out of a panic room by myself because they just aren't the way I think. And they're all the same. So I don't know if you guys have panic room or not.
No.
Well, there's several of them around the country here in the U.S., and they're all basically the same puzzles. One, actually, I played was literally the same puzzles. We think they were taken down from the San Diego location when it closed and put into a Los Angeles location. Because I was like, I think that's the same marking on the same puzzle that we saw in this other room. But they're very similar in their mind. And I'm like, that's not how I think, so I'll never get out. But I did, and it was really fun. So it's kind of a cool sense of accomplishment to know that you did it. And you didn't need anybody, that you are smart enough to beat a room. But then you miss out on the whole, like, camaraderie of, like, experiencing it with someone. Because then, like, I go back and I talk to my husband and I don't want to tell him what the room was about or what happened. Because what if he wants to play it sometime?
Right.
Because he didn't get to. So maybe we'll go back and he'll play it. So then I'm like, well, and then there's this moment where, like, this thing happens. But I don't want to tell you because I don't want to ruin the puzzle. And it's just like talking to anybody that you don't want to give spoilers to. And then you're like, well, I have no one to share this with. So... I just have this picture and this memory that no one else got to experience. And for bragging rights, you know, it's worth doing one because then you're like, I did a room by myself and won. But after that, it's just kind of like, it's cool to see them. And if you're writing a blog and you want to get a lot of rooms in because you want to write about them and you want to see them, it's worth being able just to play them. But it's not quite the same, like, cool experience is being with your friends and being like, hey, high five, you got that. And you get those aha moments because they all kind of happen in your head. Unless you're like me and you're used to talking to yourself and then you just talk the whole time to the game master like it's your best friend in the ethos, like God. And I do, because it helps them. If you're playing by yourself, you have to think, no one's in the room with you, so you're not saying out loud what you're doing normally. So when I play by myself, I say everything out loud as I do it. Like, I'm going to go try this combination in this lock now. Well, that didn't work. That was a stupid idea, Christine. All right, let's go over here and try it there. Oh, no, maybe these locks should be numbered as to how I put the locks in, because obviously I can't figure out which lock goes with which puzzle. And you just start kind of ranting like you would if you were talking in your sleep or something.
Maybe we need that more in rooms so they don't know when they're going wrong.
Do you guys not complain to the owners while they're watching you play?
Yeah.
No,
we do.
I just don't want to get involved in a conversation. I think we've talked to so many owners now that just don't listen that we just gave up, actually.
Or it's a Canadian thing. We're too polite. It's like, okay.
Oh, you were polite. Yeah. It's true. You have like very polite manner things that we don't have in Los Angeles. We're the rudest people. Not only are we Americans, we live in a big city that's very self-centered. So do you guys look at the room theme as being really important as well? Like, I'm not the only one that thinks the theme and the story are important.
Less
you don't care.
So now because of escape rooms. But I mean, like, you know, sometimes some escape rooms do it brilliantly and we're really happy. But now, I don't know, sometimes you run into, like, you're in an office and something bad happened. Okay, let's be in this office again. There are so many things you can do in an office and trying to make it make it to a story. And then after a while, it's like, okay, let's just solve the puzzles.
For me, that's for Arrow. For me, yes, I hold out hope that, you know, there will someday be a very engaging story and very immersive theme that I can get into. I haven't seen it much in Toronto, unfortunately. I've seen it in a couple places and it's been awesome, but you know, there
are probably only two or three rooms that do well, and that's it. Out of the 60 facilities and over 100 rooms, there's really only two or three.
And
you guys have to come play in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
I feel like Los Angeles has really good story-based rooms.
The more that you describe it, the more I'm like, I need to move to LA. Like, you know, I was like, not to act, just to play escape rooms. I'm that loser in the group that anytime there's a diary in the room, people just hand it to me because they'll know that I'm the only one that will read it cover to cover.
That's
that will be like, this is where the story lives. And then I'll find a puzzle answer in there somewhere. But I'm like, I want to know the story too. I know that like it's difficult and in a timed environment, right? And where you're also focused on the puzzle. So when you have a goal in mind, it's like the story becomes secondary. So it's this weird line that you have to balance.
And I also am happy.
Yes, and you've seen it done well, though, like, it can be done. Once you've seen it done well and you go, oh, this is well done, then it's like you kind of wish everybody would do it. So I almost wish that you don't see it well done because it makes everything else suck more. It's just like playing a game with really good, strong puzzles and then going and playing games that are illogical and they don't make any sense. You're like, what? Because then you're like, oh, it's worse. But people who played that room first love escape rooms and they don't care if it's logical.
Yeah. No,
and it's not until they've played really good rooms do they start to get jaded, like us.
Yes, well, or if you just start to do many, many of them, and now all we do is just scream at the walls when we start doing puzzles in a room. Why did you do this? This is stupid. That's not a puzzle. Counting isn't puzzling.
Have you guys ever run into where they've told you the story beforehand, and then you needed that information in the room, but it was nowhere in the room, and you didn't listen?
Yeah.
Really? Which one?
I have.
No, there have been a handful like that. Yeah. Not so much. Yeah, sometimes they'll be like, "Oh, well, did you listen to the story in the briefing?" And it's like, no. What's this room about again?
I've had it at least twice that I can think of that were like really important. Like the first puzzle to get out of the first room, kind of a thing, was something important in the story, and we just didn't listen to like names and stuff. And it was a letter lock, and we were like, "Oh, I bet we know that information."
Oh,
were you listening? No, were you listening? No. And we ended up having to get a hint just to get through the first, like, lock. because we just didn't pay attention. And we were like, we always have to listen now. But I wondered if your story-based rooms do that sort of thing.
Again, not many story-based rooms here.
Yeah.
Which is sad for me.
And they rarely do that sort of thing.
Except Mike's run into it.
Yeah.
We did it for our room. But then again, you were able to get that information again anyway, because we found out nobody heard.
One person did record the whole speech.
Yeah, well, so we had a wedding. It was a wedding reception, and I did a speech at the beginning as the MC. And somebody thought, it's going to be important, so they recorded the whole thing. It was great. But then they played it back because they were trying to solve a puzzle. And what people could do is they could just ask me, so I wasn't going to keep that information from them. But they just went and listened to the recording. There you go! And they solved the puzzle. I was very proud of them, actually.
Kudos to you, team.
Awesome. Kudos.
So apparently you could use your phone in your game.
Yeah, actually, it was involving an awful lot of texting, actually. So what happened is that at the very, you would, for because it's a wedding, and because it's a one-night-only thing, I don't care if people take pictures. I don't care if, you know, if people share these things on Instagram. It's only going to happen. I mean, if they don't take pictures of the puzzles, but I think the people who are playing it are either enthusiasts or they know escape rooms to the point that they don't want to share those puzzles, because I didn't even give that warning this time around, and nobody spoiled anything. It was really nice. But they had to do things that you might want to... that you might do at a wedding. So in other words, taking selfies. So that was actually part of a puzzle. And then texting was actually part of make multiple texts, actually.
Yeah,
so,
we had autoresponders on
yeah, so
phones.
In other words, you had to text.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and then all of us. But the thing is, when I was solving these puzzles, when I was creating the puzzles, I did not have a dummy phone. And so I had to use my own phone, actually. And so now all these people were texting me and have my number. But so far, nobody has abused this power, so it's good. Anyway, Christine, thank you so much for joining us. And I hope we get to meet you in real life sometime. And even if not, we'll see you in the chat. We'll see you maybe in another Skype call. Who knows?
No, it was really fun. I'm so glad to finally like put real faces with the names and the voices and all the typing. Because I feel like I didn't really, like, I kind of knew you, but, like, in a weird creeper way.
Oh, no, that's okay. Same thing. I had to, like, look up all your websites, because you have lots of them, right? So I went to your actor page, then I went to your ventriloquist page, and I'm going, where's her haunt page? Oh, right, I think that's off of her Twitter. So I had to go to the Twitter to find the haunt page. It was like, you have all sorts of websites to go through.
Yeah, I don't keep any of them up as well as I should either.
No,
I'm like 20 or 30 reviews behind right now. And it's because, well, the whole Arizona thing, really, like 14 rooms in 3 days is hard to like review. And so most of them are just sitting there waiting to be done. But then there's some that are, if you notice, I do my lists by like my favorite to my least favorite. And my least favorite ones are often not finished reviews because I don't know what to say. Because as mad and as mean as I get in a real room, like, I'm really nice when I review. I try never to hurt anybody's business unless they, like, ran over my cat or something. And then I'll take them down. But, like, for the most part, I try to be super nice. And my Yelp reviews are, like, super, super, super nice. They're, like, 5 stars. I might say the room wasn't fun, but it's got 5 stars because I don't want to hurt anybody's business. But, like... So it's if I don't know what good to say, I don't want to say anything.
No,
so some of them are just like dead links. And I'm like, well, that's not a good sign. Some of them just aren't done yet. But the ones that are like at the bottom that are dead links, like just don't waste your time going to the room because I like the people, but I don't know what to say.
I only write bad reviews now. That's all I do because they're the most fun for me. So then we got a whole whack of people giving good reviews. So now I just write bad ones. Anyway, I should let you go because it is 10:40 now. Thank you again, Christine Barger.
Thanks.
Thank you, guys.
Nice to meet you.
It's nice meeting you. You don't mind if we look you up if we're in LA, do you?
Totally. Let's hang out. There probably are no rooms that I haven't done, but like I'll play them again. I've done that before. Okay. I do. Like, I'll just go in the room and, like, hang out. Like, I did, I beta tested a room and my friends played the opening version. So I went and I, like, watched them until the last puzzle, which I didn't know. Then I helped. And, like, that was it. Just because I was like, well, hang out in the room and play. It'll be fun. So you guys should totally come play rooms when you're here. And, like, I'll tell you where to go and we'll, like, go to the Magic Castle.
That's not Disney's Magic Castle. We're talking about a different castle. Sorry.
The Magic Castle is a private magician's club in Los Angeles by invitation only.
Yes. Ooh. Yes. Oh, do you have invitation to that?
Yeah, I'm a member, so you can come with me and we'll go see magicians and stuff.
Oh, wow. That's really cool. I didn't know that. Yes, yes. I'm sorry. I knew about that. But I don't have very many magician friends. They just, you know, ones that I see brag about it. That's how I know about it. Anyway. Take care, and I hope to see you again.
All right. Good night, guys.
Bye-bye. Anyway, thank you so much for joining us here on Room Escape Divas. We have a Facebook page now. Woohoo!
Yay!
And we have a hashtag, REDivas. It's really short.
Yeah, hashtag REDivas.
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 You can email us at roomescapedivas@gmail.com. And please send us any suggestions, any questions, anything you'd like to hear. Mm-hmm. Maybe you'd like to hear other people's voices, because every time I stop, I look at them and they just nod and then wait for me to say anything.
I don't know what I'm supposed to say.
I'm closing off the podcast.
Well, I can't, like, do we have a Twitter? Crap, I don't remember. I'm just not going to say anything at all.
Anyway, thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next week.
Bye. Bye-bye.